Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you on this December 9th, 2022. We are fast approaching the end of this year, and we are rejoicing in today, and I pray she's on the line to wish our own minister, Patricia Neese, happy birthday. Happy birthday. We love you, and we pray God's very blessed for you and many, many more. God love you. Minister Pat has been a blessing to, I would say, hundreds of individuals on a very personal, real plane, a plane where it is a need that she was made aware of by God, and she extended herself as the vessel to him. And so we thank God for her, and we rejoice on her birthday. We won't ask her how old she is because we understand that for some people, you know, they don't want to share that. But happy birthday, young lady. Happy, happy, blessed birthday. So we are looking towards the end of our study on the turning the curse into a blessing by Paul Carl. The book on the book of Job, sharing some insight from possibly was never our original perspective, but giving us a kind of a new, not kind of, but a new set of priorities, a new positional insight into suffering, troubles, tribulations, trials, injustices, our enemies, attacks, and all those things that are very trying for us. The Lord has ordained all of these obstacles, enemies, and problems to work for us. So when we see these obstacles, these enemies, these problems, and give those titles names, the problem of a child not doing what you know they need to do to stay close to the Lord, or an obstacle. You want to do something, but you don't have the money. An enemy, someone that is always at odds with you, causing trouble for you and making life hard, as we sometimes like to see it, our enemies having these stumbling blocks for us, tempting us, bringing us to a place where, you know, we find ourselves in need of deep repentance. And we have to realize these things come in our path to work for us. All the injustices, irritations, and sorrows are working vigorously on our behalf to produce within us all the virtues we have just listed. These virtues are the things that are eternal. They are the things that God requires. They are what makes us look like him. That's what makes us recognizable as his children. It's what makes us ambassadors or lights shining upon Jesus Christ so that others may look to him as well. And so there are many, many virtues of this time of adversity that we're going to experience, because the Bible says we were going to experience many are the problems of the saints, but the Lord delivers us out of them all because he has a purpose for them. He has a perfecting purpose for them. And his allowing that to happen during the time it doesn't feel like it's because he loves us. But that's a truth that we have to learn to believe, which is why we walk by faith. We just believe what he says. And so no matter what it feels like, we know what it's really like. It is really God at work in my life and causing all of these things that he's allowed to come to me to vigorously work to produce within me the things of patience and love and hope and truth and joy and gentleness and meekness and long-suffering and what is that last one on there? Probably the one I had the most problems with. but the last, what you call it, fruit of the Spirit. And so those are things that he's not going to leave us in a incomplete position. He's not going to leave us in a incomplete, what do you want to call it? Words want to be hard sometimes. But he doesn't want to leave us where we are until we are where he wants us to be. He has a plan and a perfecting strategy that he is using in our life, and we are coming to understand what that looks like. And it's not always the good and the elevations and the acknowledgments and the joy. It was always a joy. Because whatever it is he does, we rejoice in the fact that he's doing it. And so there's a purpose and a benefit for our adversities. We kind of looked at the list last week. I hope you went through the list and found one or two that you believe the Lord is sharing with you to look at it, to look at these adversities. And I like that word irritating, because some things just may not be a sin. They're just irritating. It is just irritating. A lot of what's going on in the world today, individuals with their different levels of work ethic, companies and businesses that are not functioning at the highest level of integrity or the highest level of the quality of what they do, people just seem to not really care. And that can be very irritating when we are using our resources to gather services or benefits or products that we need. And then when you get them, they're defective, or they're not up to standard, or they've changed, or, you know, you ever go through a drive-through window, and when you get the order, you ask, do you have my yes, this, and this, and they say, yeah. As soon as you drive off, they don't have it in there. That's an irritation. And for some people, that's a very explosive irritation. And I think that's what happens on road rage on the street when you're driving and someone does something rude in their driving behavior, or they don't really do anything rude. They don't drive like you drive. So you may be behind somebody like me who I'm not going over the speed limit, okay? And I'm going to stay in the slow lane. But if you're in the slow lane trying to get around traffic, then I'm going to be irritating to you. You know, and so often these things become explosive situations because people don't have the patience. They don't have the long suffering. They do not have the meekness. They don't have the gentleness. And so what happens is this just explodes in their personality. It explodes in their behavior and what they, the way that they are responding to the irritations that are in their life. And then you have individuals that are in sorrow. This nation, this world is in a season of sorrow, of suffering, of grief. And how we respond to that is paramount in pointing people to God. And because people are not going to know if we don't respond to the circumstances, irritation, the sorrow, if we do not respond to them from heaven. This is why this whole list, and it's not inclusive, all inclusive, but it is a list that is formidable that we need to review. I pray that this is a page, that's at page 44, that you will kind of maybe take a picture of and share it, put it somewhere where you can remind you, stick it in your journal. So from time to time, you can go over this list. These things here are indications of how to, on the Bible says, think on these things. These are the things you should think on: producing patience, keeping me on course, bringing me peace, bring me to full sonship. Keep these things as the priority in our life keeps us focused on God and not the irritants and the adversities that we are experiencing. And so these are a wonderful starting point of what to do. Like so many people say, I just don't know what to do. You know, they get to a certain place in their suffering, in injustices, in their problems, dealing with their enemies or their the obstacles in their life, and they just don't know what to do. And so one of the things we want to glean from our study of the book of is do these things. These things, if we do these things, then we can say, I don't know what God wants me to do. This is what he wants us to do. Put it in his word, and then this wonderful author has gone through the word and collected a list, if you will, of some things that we can use to think on these things. So what is lovely? What is true? What is of a good report? And we say that all the time. And so we often, I think, even when we say it, we're trying to think, okay, what's lovely? I don't know, the sun in the sky, the birds in the tree. This is what you want me to think on. But here's the heaven perspective of thinking on what makes me perfect, and that's God in my situations, bringing me to a greater knowledge and relationship with Christ, bringing us to glory, making truth come alive. These are the things that if we think on these things and the things that have been revealed to us from the heavens perspective of the troubles that we go through, then these things will keep our mind in perfect peace. And these obstacles, the enemies, the problems, we won't have this road rage. We'll have a peace and a gentleness over our spirit, not a meekness that is an indication of weak or letting someone take advantage of us, but rather knowing our position in God and knowing that he is working this out vigorously on my behalf to produce in me some virtues that I don't have. And those virtues, the wonderful list of the virtues, are the gift of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so he is working to produce those in our life. And so if this is what he's doing, he's going to produce patients. The author shared at one point that, you know, when you have this pressure, pressure from your obstacles and your enemies and your problems, our response to the pressure should be patience. And that patience, you say, well, why patience? Well, because when the pressure comes, you have to patiently wait on God to release the pressure. But what we generally do is try to come up with our own scenarios and our own solutions to the pressures that are on us. And so when we do that, we generally get in more trouble or in deeper pressure because we can't release that pressure. Only God can. And so what he's showing us in so many situations is we need to wait on him. We need to understand that he is the one that's going to bring perfection into our life, and he's going to bring it there based on his standard, because we belong to him. And so just like any good parent, he is producing in us the things that are going to bring about success in our life. And the best success is not so much the prosperity movement, but it is a spiritual success of to be rich in the things that the world doesn't have. That's what makes you rich, is to have something that everybody else doesn't have. And everybody doesn't have peace. Everybody doesn't have love. Everybody doesn't have joy. But these are the things that our Father is producing in us, releasing in us, giving us a heavenly perspective of, so that when we get to heaven, okay, that's what all of this is done for, our eternity. See, not so much for our little time here on earth, even though it brings about a more excellent way to those they see us, they witness us, where those that witness our walk, witness that which we do. It's also the thing that these are things that actually when we pray, we sometimes in our very passionate prayers of repentance and of frustration, you know, and of what seemingly is hopelessness, when we pray, these are the list of, if you will, a perspective that we want to look towards. And then we will see that our prayers are being answered. So keeping us from straying, then we need to focus on heaven's perspective of our obstacles, enemies, and our problems. It destroys the pride in our life. It shows us what's really in our hearts. And so when we want to do no more that which we've done, we need to see where it comes from. And remember when we started to study, we started it on the scripture base that, you know, the heart is wickedly deceitful and not to be trusted. There's things in there that we are not aware of. Deliver thou me from secret faults, and let not presumptuous sin have dominion over me. Tradition or that way of thinking or that attitude or that cultural, I don't know what you want to call it, tradition, if you will, or minds, is not what fuels, nor is it what it doesn't fuel us, nor does it identify us, but rather what we need to be identified is the true joy that's in our hearts, the peace. There were situations this week of so many things that would be on obstacles and irritants and sorrows and injustices and just some of the things that are just heartbreaking that you hear on the news or from friends or just all around the world. As I say, the world is grieving. In every area, you're going to find individuals that are being saturated in negativity all around them, and they don't know how to swim out of it. They need a life jacket. They need something that is not going to be overtaken by the troubles and the sorrows and the obstacles that are in their life. And that only answer, as they were singing the song Sunday at church, is whatever you need, whatever your life jacket needs to look like or be, you can find it in God. It's in heaven. That's one of the joys of music. They bring to our minds a picture of that answers a problem for us, or that addresses a situation, and they give us this awesome picture that, you know, as long as you sing the song or you remembering the words, it brings up the priority, if you will, of this list of things, of the way heaven views it, those that are anointed worshipers and singers and songwriters. And so the words they use sometimes, you know, I hear them and I think, why can't I think of words like that? You know, it's like, it is so, it makes such the perfect picture, you know. And sometimes even we had old school Wednesday, and they were singing some of the old, playing some of the old choir type songs. And I was remembering and just in singing them and being a part of that type of organization of worship in the house of God. And what a difference it made. What a strength we get from, you know, even the words of this song, some of the songs. And sometimes it's, you know, it's repeating one stanza over and over and over, you know, but it's like that's what it takes, is to keep God in the forefront of our minds and speaking this, you know. I didn't know back then, you know, the worship of your lips and, you know, how you establish things by declaring them and decreeing them and that sort of thing. So 40 years ago, we just knew to do, you know, what the choir director said, and we just sang the song. But the song were the words that we needed to decree and declare over our life. And we didn't know, really. We had a set that we particularly liked because we felt like they addressed our situation and our circumstances. And I remember one song that our choir used to sing, and we knew when we were gathering in the choir room, if that was going to be on the list of songs for that Sunday, that we knew who was going to shout. Okay. So we knew, it's going to be that kind of Sunday. And so it was the kind of song where the peace be still. And it was just when you think about it, now when I think about it, just a choir of 40 people singing in unison, touching and agreeing, peace be still. It was speaking to all the storms in all of our lives. And we were young people, and there were lots of storms, and a lot of them we caused ourselves, okay? But we came together, and we didn't know, but we knew, okay, to say this. And that's part of the anointing over a worship leader. Our worship leader knew what songs to pick for that Sunday. Sometimes they pick songs that are going to coincide with what the pastor is preaching. But that's all about part of the flow of worship. That's all a part of leading the congregation into a place that we're sitting in God's front seat, and we are witnessing, and actually not just witnessing, but we are a part of his worship, the worship to him. And so this is how we do it, on one accord. And so just so many things that, you know, we get clarity in now that we just did before, We didn't know to do it, but God knew that we would need to do it. And so he led us down that path. And now he is showing us the power in that path so that we can now understand what's missing today. And so that we can understand the kind of connection we need to have to one another and to the service and to our worship, you know, and to our walk. And so all of these things we're getting a heaven perspective of, so that on earth, okay, this is what this means, thy kingdom come. The only way for his kingdom to come on earth is for us to have a heavenly perspective. And the only way for us to have a heavenly perspective is us to understand the purpose and the benefits of adversity. Because he said that as Christians, we are going to suffer. We're going to have this captivity of trouble that's going to hold us and bind us until the Lord say so. And he will say so when it has produced in us those virtuous qualities, those virtuous fruits that looks like him and that prepares us to reign with his son, that brings us to sonship, that causes us to enter the kingdom of heaven and to enter it with joy and rejoicing and with the rewards that we want to bestow upon our King and our Redeemer. It makes truth come alive. It's one thing to know a scripture that's your favorite scripture, study the scripture, memorize the scripture, write the scripture, preach the scripture, but it only comes alive when we live the scripture. And the best place to live a scripture is during adversity. Living a scripture is when you take what you heard him say, read him what he said, sang what he said, listen to what the preacher said, and then take it and apply it to the circumstance, the problem, the enemy, the irritants, the injustices, or the sorrows, and apply them to them to understand the power of them, because you can watch them just like when you put a Alka-Seltzer in some water. Some water, and it fizzes up and it bubbles up, and it's like, what in the world? That's not what you were looking for, the original response. Well, we do now because we know that's what's going to happen. But the first time it wasn't. And so, but the thing was, we had to, with that pressure, we had to wait. We had to be patient for, don't drink it when it's doing all of that, because it hasn't dissolved yet. There is a process that it must be allowed to go through in order to be of benefit to us. And so it's when it all settles down, then we can take it. And when we take it, it's not necessarily something that's pleasant or something you would just do just because. But we take it believing this is what we need for the whatever it's supposed to solve problems. And so we have that thought. And most times, honestly, it's the thought. It is what we believe will happen is what happens. Because how many times you see somebody do the same thing? I took all these, and they didn't help. Did they not help? Or did they say they weren't going to help? Did you believe they would help? Or did you hope but didn't have faith? Or you wavered in your faith? And so there's so many things that are an element that are involved in our thinking and our living and our attitude and our understanding and our conversation that makes a difference for us physically as well as spiritually. And so we're learning those things. We're learning the benefits and the purposes of things that we didn't think had purposes before, or We knew they had a purpose. We just didn't think it was a good one, nor did we believe it was one that we wanted. And so when we see this trouble from a heavenly perspective, we're getting insight on a whole different movie, whole different movie. You ever looked at a movie, say, 10 years ago, and you see that same movie now, and you be going, oh, I don't remember that. Oh, I don't remember that. Oh, I remember when he did that, I thought this, but that's not this, that's that. So you see it from a whole different perspective because you gained a level of understanding now than what you had 10 years ago. And so you will see things differently. You will determine a different outcome because you have a better understanding. And it's speaking to a better outcome is what you could decree and declare. And so now you are establishing certain situations and circumstances to be subject to the word and the will of God. And because you do that, he is going to bring it to pass. So before, sometimes what we were doing was just repeating things without really knowing, but that's just like a baby. You know, we didn't have all knowledge of a college graduate, but we just believed that fire was hot. And so because of that, we learned to stay away from it. So it's that thing that we have to, but it's that perspective that we need, that God is adjusting our vision through. He's adjusting it through the perspective of heaven to look at our adversary, our enemies, and our irritants, and then injustices is a very, very powerful word in this season. I keep saying in this season because injustices, they are rampant. They are invasive in every generation, every race, every culture, every gender. This is a way, a place of power that the enemy can use to distort our joy and our hope. And so injustices is a very powerful tool of the enemy to tear us down, to weaken us, to break us, to make us vulnerable. But as we endure these injustices, when we learn, oh, God's got this. You know, the song, God's got it, God's got it. Whatever you need, God's got it. But God's got my injustice. So, you know, it gets to a point where we will understand it doesn't matter what you do to me because God going to get you. And once you believe that, then you don't have that woe is me mentality, but rather you're going to go forth victoriously with joy because you know that's just like having a big brother. You know, you may hit me today, but when you see me again, you're going to see me with my big, brother. We're talking about Jesus. And that's going to all be settled and satisfied on my behalf. And so there's a peace that you get even in the midst of your enemies, you know, against you, because you know the heavenly perspective of the adversity that person is bringing to you. Now, we're not going that way as it relates to bullying and abuse and that sort of thing. But there is nothing. There isn't. Whatever you need, God's got it. Whatever it is, there's nothing that the enemy has that he can put your way that God will not use vigorously to work to produce in you the virtues that you need. So no matter what their enemy is doing, you know, our question is, Lord, show me what's in my heart and tell me what you want me to do about in this circumstance and situation. Okay, I've been doing a lot of talking. You're on the line. You're open. Insights, questions, comments.
Well, obviously, I have a comment on what you just said. This is Pastor Rogers.
Yes, ma'am.
That is, when you turn it all over to God, you don't care what that enemy come at you with, because you know God is going to teach you something else, and what it is he wants you to know about behavior, human behavior. And I was laughing because the business, he was showing me different behavior, and I always call it the arena. But one of the people that over the community, you know, he got cliques in the area, and he wanted me to be with him. And then another Polish guy, he's trying to take over the community, and he's been doing a lot. And they, you know, they come in with different versions of what they feel the community should be. And I was like, Lord, and the Holy Spirit, when we listen, he said, don't be distracted. Stay focused, you know. And all he wants us to do is focus on him doing whatever it takes. God already got it. So he said, you can rest. I'm learning to rest in God. Not meaning that we don't do nothing, because he has to use our body as the tools that, you know, to do the work. But that's all. We just the tunnel, as Apostle Red said. We're just the tunnel that God, the Holy Spirit, used that we can be seen and heard in the community, in this world. So I'm just listening and thanking God that, yeah, sometimes it takes years for us to get to this level. And as you were saying about the servant, I call them the servant leaders, the ones that was over the choir. I was over the worship board. And you had to be anointed, especially to be over the worship board, because you had to be there earlier, prayed up. So when the spirit started coming in, you had to pray. Well, spirit just went through that door. You pray. You didn't grab the person and say, you got a demon, you know. You had to learn how to minister to the people that they have come in to stay focused on who? The Holy Spirit, God. Because the Holy Spirit is going to be the one that do the praise and worship. And you knew how, because I was one of those ones that if they sung the song that I love, you got involved. You the emotions came up, but then a person could sit there all day and not do nothing, and then you sing a song, then everybody jump up. And you the people was coming to express to get that weight off of them. And that's all they needed. They didn't know what we know now. But but you have faith and you believe it. If they sung this song, you know, and then that's when I even started playing. I would say, oh, I want to play, be on the organ. And God allowed me to get up there, but I only stayed in the choir 1 week. I wasn't anointed to be in the choir because they fought over what songs they wanted to sing. So he put me back on the usher board. So, you know, it's so much that we have to pay attention. And then we'll know where God has purpose for us to serve. And I was reading in the Bible the other day where he didn't call everybody his servant. You know, Moses, Abraham, Moses, and David were servants. And God, you know, Jesus allowed all of us to be servants. But we must receive the anointing. Well, I better shut up because It's the anointing that's going to do the work.
Amen. Cool. I know you don't have to shut up, but I think what you, the point you're bringing up is what we're learning, and the apostle is establishing on Wednesday, is there sometimes people go into areas because there's a need, but they don't have the grace for that. And until someone that has the grace for it steps up, somebody got to do it. And it's not going to be done the way it would if the person with the grace would stand up and do it. So every opportunity, particularly this year coming up, you know, people are given that moment to stand up. If that's the grace that's on your life, then that's what you do. It was interesting because you said you were in the choir for a week and you went back to the usher board. I was in the usher board for a week. I said, oh, this is not my grace. And I knew it wasn't. You know, but the choir was. And I know, like I said, they did old school choir songs. And my daughter said, oh, y'all did that. I said, yeah, we were singing this song, you know, energetically speaking. And when I remember, it's like, you know what? We be wore out. But you didn't know you were wore out till the next day because while you were doing it, you were able to do it. You had the stamina to do it. We had the grace on our life to do it. And we had the grace on leadership, that the people that were arguing about what song, because they wanted to hear Sue do her solo and George do his whatever. But the person with the grace doesn't go with the crowd. It doesn't go with the wind. They go with the spirit. And once that's established, it quieted the mouths of the enemy. And it was that way every rehearsal. You know, so it wasn't that once you quiet him, he ain't coming back. Oh, he coming back. But the leader has the grace to always shut him down. And so that's knowing who you are and the power that's on your life. And so that's the kind of a stamina that adversity brings. Because if he was never, or she was never questioned or never challenged, they would not have come up with such a powerful passion. But that passion was so powerful because they knew what God wanted, and they weren't willing to compromise it, because I am sure they had an adversity situation that taught them, you know, is what that song says, only what I do for Christ is going to last. So y'all not going to get me caught up in dumb stuff? No, because that's going to burn up. You know, what I do is going to stand like gold. And so you get that understanding from the ministry of the Holy Spirit, from the gap together, you know, and just understanding really the power of when two or three. So when you got 50, you know, that are, and say other 50, maybe 39, we'll just say it that way, are on one accord. But you got 39 on one accord. They will definitely put to flight that other 11. Is that right? Yep. They'll make them run. They'll make it either leave or conform or be silent for this one, and they're coming back. But that's okay, because when they come back, they're going to meet God right in the face, because his grace is there on the line for those that are passioned by trouble and adversity and sorrow and situations to trust God. They're passioned by those things because they know they can trust God. They know that they can wait on God, and he is going for wonderful insight. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Pastor. Amen. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. So I do trust that everybody has their writing because of the book, or, you know, some version thereof, because we're going into facing the problem of it's not fair. It's not fair. And so I do want us to be able to understand the list, to understand how God hears that, just like adversity from a heaven's perspective. Now we're going to see what complaining from a heavenly perspective looks like. It says, when it's not fair, it's continually in your dialogue. It indicates two things, that we still have not learned the ways of God, and we still are not in victory. How often do you say it's not fair? Now, I don't want people to say, oh, I don't never say it's not fair. But anything that would, we'll look at the list. Let's just go down the list, and then we're going to study it for a week. And when you come back, I need dialogue, okay? I deserve something better in life. I hate my job. Others have better jobs. They work less, but they are paid more. Now, I know we have said that. Why do I always have to make every nickel count? Why others have abundance? It's not fair. I don't have any nice clothes like my sister. It's not fair. And that's what's at the end of each one of these statements. It's not fair. I was deprived of a happy childhood. Why did God let it happen? It's not fair. God isn't fair. I'm too tall, too big, too fat, too thin. I have troubled skin, hair, or eyes. My nose is too big. Why can't I look like someone else? It's not fair. I was right and the other person was wrong. He was praised and I was put down. There is no justice. It's not fair. I felt the Lord showing me something. I was sincere and then all turned out to be wrong. God let me make a mistake. It's not fair. God's not fair. If that's the way it is, I quit. And how many times, and I just want to park there for a moment, this I quit doesn't mean I'm not going to be a child of God anymore, or whatever, whatever. But what it means is I'm going to become complacent. I'm not going to try anymore. I quit. So it's like giving up without quitting. But it is giving up. It is the quitting. And so when we say I quit, you may say, no, I never said I quit. But no, did you stop serving or did you start or continue to serve half-heartedly or did your service not have your passion anymore because you packed your passion up in your suitcase, you locked it down, and you carry it with you because you're not going to let nobody touch what's in it. That's I quit. Why does God allow this situation to continue when I know he has changed it? It's just not. I read that one again. Why does God allow this situation to continue when I know he can change it? He's not fair. God didn't give me a happy marriage. He let me down. God has failed me. God is not fair. Now, you may say, I didn't say God didn't give me a happy marriage. I said that man didn't give me a happy marriage. Well, the man wasn't supposed to give you a happy marriage. It was God that was supposed to do it. So we want to think of that from a different perspective. Why does God have favorites? It's not there. God hasn't provided enough. It's not there. God doesn't care enough. It's not fair. And again, you may say, well, I would never say God doesn't care enough. But if what you say complains that you don't have enough, then you're saying God doesn't care enough to give you enough. And then you're still complaining about what he has done and what you feel in the midst of his doing. Okay. I've got raw deal in life. God's not fair. I deserve something better. Better health, better job, better house, better spouse, better conditions, better money, more recognition, more approval, more justice, more happiness. You know, I deserve. And the truth is, we do not even deserve what we do have. Okay? So we're going to look at that in greater detail next week. But I want you to keep in mind, it's not fair is actually an attack against God, the provider, and the shepherd of our soul. It is, in effect, it is saying, in effect, God has not been fair. He has not taken care of me. He is insensitive to my needs. He is harsh and uncaring. God is partial. He has favors. He is good to some and unloving to others. He is irresponsible. And you may say, I would never say that about him. But when you say that, any of those statements that we just read, then that's what you're saying about God. These complaints reveal unresolved problems in our hearts and shows that we are not viewing life from scriptural perspective. When a Christian constantly laments of injustices, it shows he is not in victory. These complaints are the very reason we have not found favor with God. God wants to perfect us in an excellent spirit of thanksgiving. And so we read it said here that when you feel like when a Christian constantly laments of injustices, then it shows that Christian is not living in victory. So we are displaying to the enemy that we have not embraced the victory that Christ won for us, because we're still talking about what's not fair, what's unjust, what they did to the slaves, what they did to the Jews, what they did to the Indians, you know, what they did to the Mexicans, what they did to the Canadians, whatever. Over the world, what they did that was unjust. Being in Christ will not allow us to lament about that, because we will understand they did that to us, but we, God, vigorously used that to perfect in me the virtues that I needed so that I could please, I don't want to say I could please, but the virtues that I needed so that I could be spiritually successful. So we have to see adversities. Yes, ma'am.
No, go ahead. I don't want to step in your sentence. I just want to.
No, go ahead. Step.
I'm wondering, that, you know, as I listen, I was with you all the way till like 10 seconds ago, but
yeah.
I'm trying to determine how you're looking at individual lack of faith, doubt. I mean, and that's just for lack of a better word. When you were talking about all of the it's not fair, you know, when you were reading through the list, you know, that
yes.
When we find ourselves in situations where that's our perspective, that's what we're lamenting, so to speak, two things. To me, it seems like it's a problem with a doctrinal truth based on what Christian life is, what the Christian life is, and who our adversary is and how our adversary works, for those kinds of things. Because you know that all of those things that we say are unfair, there's a reason why those things are happening, and that has already been basically given to us in God's redemptive plan, you know, on how the enemy acts and how we have the Holy Spirit to combat these things, you know, the agency, our free will, blah, 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 blah. But when we move beyond, in my opinion, and I'm just trying to see how you're going with this, in my opinion, when we're talking about our individual deportment and liberties and how we're living and all of those kinds of things relative to things that are happening outside of us, you know, I said our personal enemy is our sin nature that we continue to battle with, and we got the Holy Spirit who has made access and get appropriated. We can appropriate all of the remedies to resist, to endure, you know, and prevail, because we're already victorious. So we already know that going in. But the enemy outside, when we're talking about the world and you're talking about the injustices, whoever, you know, against black people, against Asian people, against whatever, you know, just the injustices, mm-hmm. that I don't track with how that becomes a lament or something negative to God. Now, he tells us these different things will be with us, but are you saying not to fight against those things? I'm not really sure. Or like that shouldn't be the concern of the people about what's happening in the world to not only the people, the kingdom of God, but just people in general, the world.
Right. Okay.
Social justice causes. I guess that's what I'm saying. Social justice causes.
Yeah.
Do you feel that that is something that we should not be overly concerned? I guess overly, that's probably not the right word either.
Oh.
Because,
I understand what you're saying. And what I'm saying is, as children of God, our response to that has to be different. It has to be godly. Because no other response is going to change anything. Only God is going to change. God brings the victory. So whether it's personal or whether it's cultural or generational or whatever, okay, it's not that we should have a passion for people who are suffering, but we don't blame God for it. Remember what we're saying here.
Yeah, all right. That was missing that piece. Okay.
But we're not blaming God, but what we are going to do is whatever God gives us to do, that's what we're going to do. You know, and we're going to do it victoriously. That's the thing. We have victory, and that victory is supposed to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the only way for us to go forth victoriously is to understand a heavenly perspective of whatever is going on in the earth realm. So when COVID came, you had a lot of prophets and people and stuff like that saying the fact that it came globally was to stop everything because God had an agenda. That's great, because he did. And it did. And it changed some things. But it was acknowledging that God had an agenda. It was for the saints, not worrying about what the agenda was, but trusting him with the agenda and going forth victoriously, just like the heroes and the, you know, the what they call the people, the first responders and whatever. They knew everything was bad, but they didn't go home. They stayed fighting, you know, because they believed in that relentless nature of the victory of God. And whatever they could do to be an instrument of that, they committed themselves to. They committed their lives and their families to. And they're probably still suffering. But they were committed to a heavenly perspective. And that's what that was where I wanted to go. And I can understand, though, what you're saying. You know, and I'm not saying we should just sit and watch them beat children. No. Or be, you know, anti anybody or anything. No, but when we see that, hear that, what response do we have? You know, what response are we No, you have, but I was going to say expressing, you know, because we could have one response, but we express a different response. And we, the whole point, I believe, that author wants us to see is, I don't care what area of life is involved, God is in charge.
And absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. So, you know, like I say, that song, whatever. It's like whoever, whosoever. I love it. Whoever believes. They don't mind. I don't care. You, whatever. Whoever believes shall not perish. You know, and so whatever you need, you got it. And
mm-hmm.
you. So that's a wonderful question. Wonderful question. Because we have to be focused.
I was slightly off track on where I thought you were going with that. But, yes, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this next little section, I think it's going to come closer to home than maybe the others did. But because I believe that it's going to start, our mind, our ears are going to start, are anointed now because God's truth has been revealed. And so our ears are going to be anointed to hear it the way heaven hears it. And so there may be some things that you say, oh, you know, you say, I didn't mean it that way. But the point is, that's the way you said it. That's how heaven hears it, I'll put it that way. And plus, like, you know, just like with Job, was really way down in your heart. And so he's going to shake it out so he can clean it out, and then you can move. We can move on. And so that's what this next little, it's not little, but a very powerful, complaining reveals. And so there are some straight facts that you have to agree with. Complaining reveals that gratitude is missing. That contentment is circumstantial and has not been learned. I think Paul said he learned to be content in everything. So it's not just circumstances that make you content. It's learning to be content. That comparing ourselves with others, criticizing God and his wisdom, not viewing life from God's perspective. And remember, all of life belongs to God. So we got this is stuff. You know, that's like somebody coming to your house and rearranging it. You be going, no, you can't do that over there. You know, so, you know, we coming into God's house doing what we want. And being conformed to Christ's image is not our ultimate goal. And that our wells are blocked. Faith and joy are gone, and unbelief is raining. I love that wells are blocked. We did a wonder on it, and it just blew my mind. Of all the wonders, that one did it for me. And when I understood what it was saying, and we did it a couple of years ago with the AEN, the wells are flowing. Just the stuff that blocks wells that people use in ancient time or, you know, other times, not our time, but, you know, before, that whatever they had that they didn't want, they just threw it down the well. You know, that's how they cleared off things, cleaned their house. They had furniture down. They had all kinds of things. Had been thrown down the well and had blocked the water because man did what was right in his own eyesight. And he thought it was a good idea, which shows you most ideas are not good. Okay. There's no limit. But we'll talk about that more. I'm going to try to find that wonder too. I got something somewhere. But, questions, comments?
I have some questions. This is Pastor Rogers again. I wrote down most of them, but I was seeing, I'm hearing where you want us to examine our spirit to see what we're saying about God as we complain. Saying I'm right and they wrong and I'm fat and she's skinny, you know, judging God. Growing up, I always said God wasn't fair, but I know he was a just God. So I didn't look at God not fair from my point of view, you know, because God, he don't think the way we think. But now when we got down, the last one I wrote was just. And
yeah.
I was saying, what do we think about just? A lot of us don't know what just is. And we hear so many people when they losing their loved ones and, you know, what the enemy is doing, and they say, all I want to see is justice done. And then I was like, yeah. Lord, do they really want to see you? If oh, my God. when we come together, as believers, and we can let the people know that he is a just God. And the enemy, he's not going to get away with anything like you were saying, because Jesus said it's finished. I'm just happy from when I got on when you were talking about the choir, because we go through things to learn. We learn who we are. God allow us to go through. And that way he can show us who we really are. I don't know. I just love him. And love what he's doing for his people.
Absolutely.
And he will resolve all our problems when we let him, you know.
He's gonna definitely fix us. I think our place he wants us to get to is the fact that we desire that no man be lost.
Yes.
Because we understand the cost of what they're doing. We understand, I know, you know, there's some people, you know, you do that, you go to hell. I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to go there. Ain't no turning back from that. And I don't care what awful thing you've done, I don't want you to go to hell. There's not a outcome, you know, that my heart would be comfortable with. And so it's got to be what he passions us to do, so that whatever a person needs for that season, we can't save everybody and walk around behind them for the next 50 years and make sure they don't, whatever. But actually, as the body of Christ, we can. You know, and we pass the ton and we, you know, we link together, you know, we form this, the picture of the circle around the world with people linking up, you know, with pastors say that one thing, that commonality that we have. And so that's something that he wants to stir up in us, so that our resiliency and our passion, that's the only thing I can say, other word I can say. Yeah, and that passion is just there. It's like, oh, my God. You know, there's some people that are relentless, okay? They are relentless. They like, they'll tell you, like a dog with a bone. Absolutely. And that's what he wants us to be, not like dogs with bones, but relentless. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop. I think that pastors them said it Sunday. It is not an option. It is not an option. My song says, as long as I have breath in my body, I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. I got to tell. People need to know. I want them to know. You know, I want them to understand whatever you need, whatever. I love that song too. Whatever. You know, if you try to identify that ever, you would be writing for years. Mm-hmm. Whatever, because whatever you need this minute, you're going to need the next minute, but you're going to need it. So whatever, he's got it. And so that's just something that you can't just tell people that. You got to show them that he has it and that he gives it to us and that you got it and that you're pleased with it. You have joy in it. You have a peace from it. And you have faith concerning it. And you're willing to allow His truth to live in your life no matter what the adversary is doing.
I just want to say that I thank God because, as you say, He resolved it when He took us back to the discipleship class one-on-one with God and then the evangelist. He's letting us know, I learned so much from Him. And He's letting us know, I will. He'll do it. If, when we have these classes, if we're paying attention and hearing God through the, even like on the land, I'm hearing God through you. So when we know His voice,
when
we can hear God's voice, then we can obey. I'm talking about me now. I was trying to obey and wasn't hearing Him clear.
Yeah.
So
Jesus.
What do we say, half obey? We can't half obey.
Yeah,
so
true.
I just love it because I looked at this and I know what I've been saying. I took check mark, you know. And,
you said check mark. Yeah. Me too.
Mm-hmm. We know what we've been saying.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And
you know, I've even done it, which is, you know, maybe that's just a mother's thing, you know, but concerning younger people, you know, I look at their life and my heart goes out to them. It's like, they're so unfair. And, you know, I can't say that. I cannot say that because that means I'm not living in victory. It's fair because you know what? God, and He's going to fix that. And when He fixes it, you're going to be fearful in the kingdom. You know, when it's fixed, and He's going to fix it. So that has to be what I communicate. But that has to first be what's seated in my heart. You know, because I can't do that without a passion. Because I would crumble, you know, if I didn't have the passion. It's like, oh, but this poor baby, No, first of all, the baby belongs to God. God's got that baby. Yes, He does. You know, and I know that He, you know, I've seen so many children. You know, they don't, you know, He has, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And there's so many mechanisms. There's so many ways that God works that brings Him to the place, brings us to the place that He wants us to be. And so we have to trust that. We got to trust that. So it's not that, you know, we'll sit by and watch somebody beat somebody. No, not in the least. But our response has to be one that heaven is agreeing on and wanting to release in the earth realm, which is why He tells, but you bind it down there, I'll bind it up here. It's dust. You lose it down there, I'll lose it up here. It's whatever you, whatever you want, let me know. That's it. Just let me know. So that's going to be the, I think I will say fun week next week, but a very powerful week, I believe. I do encourage everyone to kind of read the little details of each one of these things that are revealed in this next section of, you know, the It's Not There. All right. I don't know, Minister Pat.
Overseer, you said read what? Oh, good morning. I apologize. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Were you here when we wished you happy birthday?
No, I texted you and said I just got on probably maybe 10 minutes before you unmuted me. But thank y'all. I didn't hear nothing. I was still at work.
We did a wonderful tribute to you.
Well,
I did. So, but happy. Yes,
well,
I did. Blessed.
Will I be able to listen to it on the thingy y'all got? Remember, it goes back and posted. Pastor Linda tell me when she don't hear it, we can hear it. So maybe I'll hear it then. I was working. I apologize.
No, and that's okay. I figured that because I saw when you came on. That's why. Well, I thought that was your number, but sometimes I don't get these numbers. But yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, God bless you.
What time it was? But
not
thank y'all for wishing happy birthday, huh?
We talked about how old you were, but you didn't say nothing. So you don't have to say.
Can I mention that I have overseen Paulette about that age? I put on there happy, thanking God that I, you know, turned, but I couldn't remember how old I am. So I put, let me see how old I am. I said, we get older, we forget. I put 1963 when I was born, and I put 2023. And I said, well, that ain't going to work. So then I switched it, and I realized I had the wrong year. And I said, oh, my God, I'm 59? I thought I was 58.
Oh,
so
Lord.
Minister Pat, so we know what we're going to have when you get 73, right? She didn't forget 59.
Yeah.
What you said, baby? Yeah, 59. So I guess I'm 59 years old. Then I say, you just leave it. At least I'm alive. And that's a blessing to be alive.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, do enjoy your birthday. And to everybody, you know, we kind of know many past, but I don't want to exclude anybody. And I need y'all to text me y'all's birthdays so that I know. Y'all know my number. So.
Is Missionary Evangelist Narvella on? Because I need her number. Can somebody text me her number where I could call?
Okay, no problem.
I need an
address.
Thank you, y'all,
to know Missionary Narvella is always the first one on the line. Okay.
Yeah, me.
Oh my goodness, you made my day. I've been trying to find you for 2 months, so I don't know where your number is, so I'm just going to ask overseer somebody to send it to
you. I'll, you know, bro.
Thank y'all.
All right.
I love y'all.
I got one question, overseer.
Yes, ma'am.
You wanted us to be on the line on the Google tomorrow.
Yes.
Right?
I have to send it to you. I
didn't get any information. I looked through the computer and my phone.
Okay, I'm going to send it. Well, Mr. Pat, you got it.
Where do I look at it from? Gmail, email, text? Where do
Minister
I find it at?
Minister Pat.
Okay.
What do you do at 12 noon on Saturday?
Oh, okay. I thought they were talking about something different. Thank y'all.
Okay.
I'm quiet.
So Minister Pat, yesterday,
and I told her, I don't know what you're talking about.
Jesus.
But if she would have said
you need to take that
what is overseer something doing at 12? And I said, I don't know nothing about no movie.
No, I said, Wednesday. I'm on the line now, Minister Pat. Were you listening to Overseer Wednesday? She asked us to join in Saturday at 12. On Saturdays at 12, I usually be working.
I didn't hear all that, but I will make sure you get it then. Let Overseer give it to you whatever you want.
Watch these phones. I Google it. I'm reading it on your text page. But anyway, Overseer, go send it to me.
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you. Right. Because all you do is go to Google and type in a bunch of letters, and then you're there. Or, you know, they'll tell me to open it up, and I open it up. It's on Google Meet because no one can get on unless I put them on so that no one, you know, interferes in their meeting that we don't want there. So it was like it was a safe venue or something they called it, you know, that you can control,
okay, and that's
you know.
What I was saying to Minister Pat, I've never been on in. I don't. Yes, I've been in there with Apostle, but he got me in, so I'm learning.
Oh, me too. Trust me. So I'm going to send it to your telephone. Yes, ma'am.
Linda wasn't on, so she wanted to be on a few months ago, so I'll send it to you to send it to her. Whatever.
Okay, that's fine. You got it. You can give it. But
okay,
again, you can't get in unless I admit them to the class. So I will.
Okay.
But, yeah, you that's the text me to, you know, tell me who's out there waiting to come in, and I go pick and choose and let them in. So we're dialing.
12 you.
Not everybody.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you get those strange people on this line, you know, and they be off the wall. Well, this, yeah, Google Meet, they can't do it. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Just a reminder of the workshop with Apostle Hooks. And the grief seminar starts tonight, I think 6 o'clock. I'm not sure, but it's tonight. I know it's Friday night at 6 o'clock. I'm pretty sure that that's today.
Amen.
One of three sessions or something like that?
Yes.
So I know. So yes. Check your email. You know, I'm doing this just off the top of my head, but you know, I've just tried to keep it in front of my mind because I want to check it out.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. All right. Anybody else with any other announcements that I didn't forget?
Apostle said for all of us to be there Sunday.
Oh, yeah, there's a church meeting. Yeah, there's a church meeting, and I suggest you be the church at 9:10:30. Everybody.
And if you're out of town, Elder Deborah and Minister Pat is on the Zoom.
Right.
church meeting is church meeting. I'm not a member of LFC, so I think that might be inappropriate.
It ain't the one here. Don't say that to me. You know me. She know me. Deborah know me.
Yeah, and Apostle would let her on, too. She don't care. But you know, definitely, you know, we can, you know what? I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you something. The people that don't go to laborers are more faithful to laborers than laborers. So, Minister, Elder Deborah would be there. Now, about 10 people ain't going to be there from laborers. But Elder Deborah would be there. If she's supposed to be there, she's going to be there. You know, so it's really God sends us who we need when we need it. And as a result, like I said, if pastors saw Elder Deborah's name on there, she is in like Clint. Okay. So, but we know she better be at Open Door.
Yeah, I will.
Yes.
No,
absolutely.
No,
we don't want the bishop to come and get us. So,
no.
Not doing worse.
No.
No. So, praise God for it. We appreciate you. We really do, all of you. Pastor,
you
all of you.
And can you all keep Friday Meeks Jr. in prayer? He's been gone from the 4th through the 14th, and he's doing a new job and everything in Cincinnati, Ohio. So he'll be back on the 14th, but just covering.
Okay.
God will be done.
Amen.
God bless me. God be the glory.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. They're getting ready to shut us down.
All right, then.
Love y'all.
Have a great weekend. Right.
You're good.
Marinovella, I'll call you when I get your number. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye. said, okay, she'll be there. I'm going to get that number to her right now. Evangelist Nobel. I got to hang up. So. I got your number. I know your number.
Okay.
All right, I'll talk to you. Bye-bye.